Homeward is committed to partnering with parents and equipping you with the resources you need to raise your kids to become responsible adults. And Steadfast Companies, a leading real estate investment company, is proud to partner with Homeward to bring you the following podcast presentation.
There are very few things in life more painful for parents than the death of one of their children. I mean, that haunts me today. No parent ever expects to bury their own child. And so when that season hits, it can really be overwhelming. The Morrises have an amazing story of hurt, healing, and really, I would add, hope.
From the studios at the Homeward Center for Youth and Family on the campus of Azusa Pacific University, welcome to Homeward with parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns. I'm Roger Marsh. If you're looking for a university for your son or for your daughter, for yourself, I'm part of the Bachelors of Science in Online Organizational Leadership, the BSOL program myself, and having a great experience there. I want you to consider APU. Azusa Pacific secured a place in the U.S. News and World Report's America's Best Colleges rankings for 2012. They're right alongside schools that you might have heard of, Harvard, Stanford, USC, number 16 in the up-and-coming schools category as well soon. So we're very, very proud of Azusa Pacific and proud to be part of that partnership as well. Today here on the program, a difficult subject and one that is going to require a little bit of tissue on your part too. Charles Morris is with us and our theme, Grasping Grace After the Death of a Child. And now with part one of today's special edition of the Homeward broadcast, here's Dr. Jim Burns.
I'm Jim Burns. Well, Charles and Janet Morris received a phone call that no parent would ever want to hear. The news that their son, Jeff, was dead. From the age of two, his life had been an emotional tsunami, and his parents stood by him all the way through attention deficit disorder, drug and alcohol use and abuse, and countless attempts at helping him stay clean. At his best, Jeff Morris was a bright, considerate, and kind young man. However, at his worst, he was a junkie who had a knack for sometimes making the poorest decisions at the worst possible times. In the end, Jeff died from an accidental drug overdose and left his family with a lot more questions than answers. But today, his parents say that they have discovered how to experience real peace as they heal from grieving the loss of their son. In just a moment, Charles Morris will join me here in studio, and we're going to talk father to father about grasping grace after the death of a child. Well, if you have any loss in your family or you know someone who has, stay with us for this very important edition of Homeward.
You've tuned to Homeward with parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns. And Jim, we're going to confront a subject today that is extremely difficult to deal with, but I know this conversation is going to bring healing and hope to a lot of people.
Well, it really is. You know, I've been involved in youth and family ministry, Roger, for more than 30 years, and I can assure you that there are very few things in life more painful for parents than the death of one of their children. I mean, that haunts me today. Mm-hmm. No parent ever expects to bury their own child. And so when that season hits, it can really be overwhelming. It's painful enough just to try to get your arms around the fact that your son or your daughter is suddenly gone. And then you have to try to deal with the circumstances. You know, was it their fault? Was it a problem with drug and alcohol use or abuse like it was in this particular case, car accidents? There's just so many people who struggle with these difficult times when they lose a child. It's just trauma all the way.
Indeed, and there is a colleague of ours who has actually experienced this kind of loss firsthand, and we are humbled and privileged to welcome him here to the Homeward program.
Well, you're right, Roger. You know, Charles Morris is an author, he's a speaker, he's also a radio host in his own right, and he has just published a book on what he and his wife, Janet, have been through over these past 5 years or so after their son, Jeff, lost his life. The Morrises have an amazing story of hurt, healing, and really, I would add, hope in a big way. And I'm so grateful that we have Charles with us here today.
Let's begin part one now of this powerful discussion. We are calling today's program, Grasping Grace After the Death of a Child.
A very important conversation today with Charles Morris. We're talking about grasping grace after the death of a child. Charles is a broadcast journalist. He was former bureau chief for the United Press International. Since 2000, he has served as the host of a great radio program. It's called Haven Today. It's heard on hundreds of Christian stations around the world. Charles and Janet are the co-authors of Jesus in the Midst of Success and this latest book that we're going to talk about, Saving a Life, How We Found Courage When Death Rescued Our Son. The Morrises have been married for over 20 years, and they have three children, including their late son, Jeff, who we're going to talk about today, two grandchildren. They make their home in Southern California. Welcome to the studio.
Hey, it's getting closer to 30. I got to tell you that. So anyway,
30.
That's
Gosh,
right.
You look
that's
so
right. We
got
to change that bio. I don't
that's
know
right.
what the
you,
bio
you
is.
You look so young. I just
I do, don't I, Jim?
I thought we were just pressing. You know, us guys who have the same kind of hairstyle.
That's right.
Sometimes
that's right.
You know, we just don't grow old.
Hey, my barber's a few miles from here, and Dave just keeps wanting to take it down to the wood. That's what he says all the time. Jim, it's great to be with
well,
you
great
here
to,
in the studio.
It is great to have you here, and yet we're talking about a pretty tough subject. In some ways, we're going to talk about what God can do when we cannot. I want to take us back to a time when you and Janet were sitting in your living room. You were just chatting about nothing in particular, and the phone rings, and you got horrible news. I want you to talk about that horrible news.
It's not something that I really enjoy talking about,
right.
But the Lord has like put us in the position of talking about this, and so I will, yeah. In fact, we're sitting in a studio right now. Our son died about 2 miles from here, 2 miles, 3 miles max. We were living just a few miles north of here at the time. It was 5 p.m. on a Saturday afternoon. The telephone rings. Our son Jeff's girlfriend was on the phone. She was screaming hysterically, crying, and she was saying into the phone, my wife picked up the phone. She was saying, he's dead, he's dead. My wife immediately, adrenaline flowing, responded and said, he can't be, he can't be. But of course, we jumped in the car and we grabbed our younger son, Peter. We got on the toll road, which we were near, and we got to San Clemente as quickly as we could. And our son was living about a block from the beach. And by the time we got there, those yellow tapes were already up. The Orange County Sheriff's Office was there, and we had, as parents, enter a crime scene, but it was all about our late son, and he was dead. Mm.
And I remember when reading your book, you said that old familiar pain, you know, you kind of felt as you were even driving over there. Jeff had not had an easy life.
No, he hadn't. He hadn't. And this was, I don't even want to use the word black sheep, but this was the one of the children always getting into trouble. This was the middle child. This was the one that had never quite fit in. This is the one, and we did it all. We did Christian school. We did homeschool. We did public school. We did private and everything. We moved twice because of our son, Jeff. And the whole family revolved to how could we make him better. Anytime we ever made a decision to do something different in his life, it was just ours on our knees. And I wish I could tell you I were such a good Christian. I prayed every day of my life, of as long as I've been a father for our kids. And that wouldn't be totally true. But what I could say is I have prayed more days of my life for that son who is no longer with us than our son and our daughter who's the oldest.
Yeah.
You know, ADD, you know, we get the call when he's in kindergarten, 5 years old, at the Christian school. He was driving the teacher nuts, you know, and she's telling us, you know, all he wants to do is chew on his pencils, you know, and eat his collars. And, you know, I'll never forget turning in our Chevy Caprice station wagon when we shifted over to the Volvo station wagon and the kids were young and there were hundreds of little bite marks in the upholstery where our son Jeff had just been nibbling. I don't know even why they took the car as a trade-in. We loved him anyway, but he always had problems. He never seemed to fit in. One of the interesting things, he was always the honest one. We moved to Colorado Springs. We had moved there because of a private school which met his educational needs. We put our other two kids in the same school as well. It was a private prep school. He was there, but 14 years old, he was the only one out of the four kids that admitted using marijuana. Even the one of the other kids actually brought it and gave it to the other kids. Our son was honest. He's the one that got kicked out. Yeah. He's the one at 16 that got kicked out of the Christian school that we tried next. That's his life.
Sure. Yeah. And right after he died, you all wrote an email to your friends and to some of your family. And you said at that time, you didn't state the cause. You were still looking at it. But pretty much you knew it was a drug overdose.
Yes. And what we don't know, but I'm going to surmise, and without going into all the details, but from just his position of death, of how they found him, we think it was an accidental drug overdose. We don't think it was intentional. And for parents, you know, you don't want that lingering effect of, sure, my kid committed suicide. It may have been. but we think it was accidental. He had lost his job the day before. He was supposed to go into a court appearance. He was going to get the ankle bracelet that he had to wear. He had called work, a subway in San Clemente, and said, I can't get into work. He was trying to be, you know, the good employee, but because he missed that appointment going to work that day, they fired him. And we think he called his old dealer, who I could just throttle if I ever met that guy.
Sure.
And he accidentally overdosed. Well, but in death, we think he was looking up. We think he was crying out to the Lord. And we can get more into that
I think,
a little
and
bit later.
I do want to get more into that. I'm thinking about marriage. You know, anytime a kid is a tough kid, and so many of us today have, you know, one of those kids. You know, I smiled when you were talking about Jeff, because there are so many families that have, you know, a Jeff or
that one.
Maybe her name is Mary or whatever.
Yes.
But, you know, it doesn't end always in this story, but they do feel that way. Has to be tough on a marriage.
It is, yes. And really, as our Jeff was growing up, attention deficit disorder was really just beginning to be talked about. And then the hyperactive attention disorder was also being talked about as well. And I'll never forget getting a book, bringing it home, and I started reading this. And our son Jeff was probably 8 years old. And I'm reading this book, and I just start crying. This is our son. We've never had a diagnosis, but this is our son. We had moved to Florida. I had left secular journalism. We were working in a ministry context, and we took him to Bryn Mawr College in Philadelphia. We had 3 days of extensive testing. It has a strong education component, and we were told, well, you could send him to a boarding school in New England, which we weren't about to do. This is our son. But I was weeping because we finally had a diagnosis. And it wasn't his fault. And it wasn't our fault as parents.
Did you blame yourself, though?
Oh, of course. Of course. What parent isn't going to blame themselves? And, the mishandling of Scripture that, bless them, some people in the Christian world try to do, of if you just follow these little rules, if you just make them memorize something, they will be sweet, they will be good, they will be Christians, they'll understand the whole thing, and then they'll go on to have successful lives and grandchildren for you and everything. But that's not the way the Lord works.
No, it often is not. Listen, we'll take a break. I want to come right back where we're going. Roger, great book, Saving a Life, How We Found Courage When Death Rescued Our Son.
Boy, that's a powerful title, too. So wonderful to have Charles Morris with us in studio today to have this conversation. It's a very, very painful topic. There's no question about that. But I can't think of two better people than Charles and Janet Morris to be able to share their story in such a way that it would be an encouragement to others. And if you recognize Charles's voice, you may be familiar to you from the Haven Today broadcast. And he's been there for a number of years and just a wonderful guy. And so grateful that he is here addressing this. I know this is a ministry nobody wants. No parent wants to be able to have to write this book and say this was our story. But if this is your story right now, we encourage you to look at this book. It's a great resource, and it's one Jim highly recommends. It's called Saving a Life by Charles Morris. And if you go online at homeward.com, if you're not there already, you'll find a link to Charles's site. You can learn more about that. You can find it wherever books are sold. And it's just a very, very helpful book if this is your story right now. And speaking of stories, we will hear part two of this conversation on the other side of this break as Homeward with Jim Burns continues.
I'm Jim Burns with today's Homeward Snapshot.
Heather, it's 9:30. That's enough studying for one night.
Okay, Mom. Hey, can Christina stay a little longer?
On a school night? Heather, I don't think her parents would approve.
Please, Mom?
But won't her parents worry?
No, they probably don't even know that she's gone.
Well, why do you say that?
Well, I think her parents are drinkers, and I think she wants to go home after they go to sleep.
If you're the adult child of an alcoholic, well, you can relate to why Heather's friend is in no hurry to get home. I mean, she's probably wondering what kind of a mood her dad or her mom might be in when she does get there. Well, if you grew up in a home where alcohol was an unspoken problem, do your children a huge favor. Talk to your pastor or another Christian friend you trust and get the help you need. And for a free tip sheet called Why Drug Abuse Begins with Cigarettes and Alcohol, go to our website at homeward.com. I'm Jim Burns.
Welcome back. I'm Jim Burns. Incredible conversation today. Charles Morris with us. We're talking about grasping grace after the death of a child. Not an easy story. Charles is a broadcast journalist, former bureau chief for the United Press International. Since 2000, he served as the host of a great radio broadcast. It's called Haven Today. Perhaps you've heard it. It's heard around the world on hundreds of Christian radio stations. Charles and Janet have written a wonderful book called Saving a Life, How We Found Courage When Death Rescued Our Son. And I say the word wonderful because it is incredibly inspiring as I read through it, and yet it's not an easy story, by the way. As we're talking about this this story, in the midst of a really terrible struggle and pain, you suggested in your book, and I underlined this big time, it was right at the beginning of your book, you said grace is the hardest thing for us to grasp, you know, in the midst of this. Talk about that.
Well, grace is what trumps everything. In the middle of the battle, you've had the call that your son is dead, he's overdosed. You knew it was always a possibility, but yet it's not going to happen to me. And after it happened to us, and I went on the air and talked about it 5 years ago this last August, you realize, of course, it's happened to a lot of people. And there are whole families. You know, we had the one son that turned in this direction. We couldn't give him a car. We couldn't let him live at home. On the very day that we buried our son, we went back to the Midwest where we were from originally, and we put his body in the ground. We had more people than we expected show up at the house, and friends of ours drove hundreds. One family drove over 1,000 miles, good friends of ours, just to be with us. Our son Jeff's former Sunday school teacher. My cell phone rings, and it was the head of another Christian ministry, a ministry that's on the radio, and I won't give his name, but it's a family ministry. And at the same day that our son died, he had to kick his daughter out of the house, and for very similar issues as our son. And yes, he was calling to offer condolences, and I really appreciate that, but what he was really calling about was, you have any advice for me?
Yeah, and you know, it's actually a great reminder that even the people who are, in quotes, experts on their field and whatnot still struggle with this.
It's no rose garden.
It's not easy. Now, interesting enough, you mentioned the Sunday school teacher driving 1,000 miles, and Jeff was a Christian. Because some people might say, well, you know, only if he was a Christian, and if he prayed and if he went to Sunday school, then this wouldn't have been the case. But
that's
but
right, and you can't commit suicide and be a Christian.
And
that would be a whole other program
But he struggled with emotional highs and lows, plus chemical dependency, and you kind of battled with the question, you know, why didn't his faith help him more? I mean, a lot of people probably were asking that question, maybe even at that funeral.
And it does others. Yeah, we had some relatives that we'd never met before. They showed up at the funeral with their son in tow because he was on the verge of being sent to prison for drug abuse, and they thought by meeting us, that would be the cure for him. He would get religion, and that would solve his problems. Well, he's now in the state penitentiary in a state in the Southwest. So, you know, you just, it's never easy.
Yeah, it isn't easy. And yet, it was fascinating to me that even after Jeff died on that Sunday, instead of hiding, you chose to actually go to church.
We did.
Because you wanted the comfort. It wasn't easy.
Now you're going to make me start crying, Jim. I've held it up until now. Well, our pastor and his wife showed up. We called them, and good friends of ours, and in fact, our best friends in Southern California. And I don't know how Ted even got his sermon together, because they were up with us half the night. We woke up on Sunday morning, and how do you grieve as a believer, as a Christian? Well, we better grieve with other Christians. You know, we wanted to be around other believers. It was, if you're going to look anywhere for emotional support, and Janet and I had each other, and we were crying out to the Lord. And one of the elders in the church we're in, he and his wife sitting in front of us, and Ted mentioned it from the pulpit, and, you know, different elders that had known about it. But this elder and his wife, they just wept with us through church. And ironically, the song that we sang.
New song.
This song, Before the Throne of God, Stephen Vicky Cook, with the Sovereign Grace Movement. We had that at his funeral. That was the song. And that just, I still hear that today, over 5 years later. And that will be emotionally moving to me. Our son, frankly, yes, we think he was a believer. We're convinced we'll see him in heaven. And the last 6 weeks before he died, Jim, every Saturday night, couldn't let him live at home. You know, he'd steal us blind. We never knew what would happen, but he'd call me on Saturday night, and he'd say, "Hey, Dad, would you pick me up for church? Want to go with you tomorrow? I want to hear the gospel preached." Mm. And we'd pick him up, and we'd take him to church, sometimes with the girlfriend, his girlfriend. And his girlfriend said he'd started reading his Bible again the last 6 weeks. And he was raised in the faith. Yeah. But, you know, chemical dependency, as you described it, and then having emotional problems. And he was bright, very bright, but he had a learning disability too. You never know when that's going to just kind of strike and where it's going to lead.
You know, one of the things that I kind of hear in between this conversation, I hear it from other parents all the time, is if we only would have done it differently, and they kind of beat themselves up through that process.
Yes.
Obviously, that had to be a little bit what you and Janet had done through this process.
Oh, yes.
My goodness, we've got a learning disability. Addiction is addiction. You know, there's chemical dependency is something that's so difficult. It's not necessarily the parents' fault. But how did you guys deal with that through that process?
Well, we deal with it by just recognizing the fact that we will probably both go to our graves still, never knowing when that question in the middle of the night will just come into your head, and you won't be able to sleep the rest of the night.
Yeah.
I think that's just living after losing a child. It's just going to happen. But I do think that's from Satan, Jim. I think the point is, as I said when we started, every day, and especially any time we had to make a decision for him in his life, whether to do an intervention and get him to a boot camp in Utah or whatever, and we tried it all.
Right.
You know, we did every 12-step program we could find, you know, Christian, non-Christian, whatever. We always asked the Lord to watch after our decision-making and look after him, and we always pleaded for the Lord. And, you know, we heard from thousands. You and I both are in Christian radio. We don't get thousands of letters today. That was in the 30s and 40s and 50s.
Right.
People are watching TV today. We got thousands of letters at Haven today from parents, from grandparents, from neighbors, and from people who are... I got an email from a young lady just last week. She had read the book and just, you know, this is my life. I'm reading about this life.
Right. Charles, I want you to take the final moments of this segment and talk about the hope that you found even in the midst of this very trying time.
There is hope, and we've also heard from many people who have found hope. God is still in the business of intervening. Now, it took death for God to intervene in our son's life, but that's not always the case. We've got another son that later, after the first son, went off the deep end, and in a very dramatic way, God moved into his life and saved him. Saved him from the addiction, but more importantly, saved his soul.
Boy, what a testimony, and how difficult for a parent to have to go through this once, let alone twice. But we are in awe today of Charles and Janet Morris, and our theme today, Grasping Grace After the Death of a Child. We look forward to hearing part two of this conversation on the next edition of the Homeward broadcast. Remember that Homeward has resources for you. If this is your story right now, we encourage you to read Charles and Janet's story called Saving a Life, and you can learn more about that when you go to homeward.com. Also, go to the articles and media section of our online resource center. You'll find tip sheets for how to cope with these situations. If you have a child who's dealing with an addiction of some sort of chemical addiction, we've got resources, we've got books, and you can check those out at homeward.com. Jim, we talk about a lot of different things here on the Homeward broadcast. We've got some new resources to share with our listening family, especially as they pertain to stewardship and teaching our kids about money. Let's take a moment and talk about those.
Well, you're right, Roger, and I'm very excited about them. I know a lot of families have really been impacted by the challenges in this particular economy.
Yeah.
And you know what? I believe that these changes can lead to a lot of what I would call teachable moments for our kids, for our grandkids, and even for our own lives regarding stewardship and just how important it is. Stewardship is more than just an issue of how you spend your money. It involves how you invest your time, how you care for the most important relationships in your life as well. And that starts with our relationship with God.
Amen.
But it's so key to so many things about our life. And Homeward has created a brand new set of tip sheets. I'm very excited about it. The tip sheets are about money and stewardship, and they're based on a series of well-known Bible stories that should be fairly easy for your kids to understand. But they also include some very practical tips for your whole family. You can start looking at these issues like giving and saving and even investing from more of an eternal perspective. Great new tip sheets.
They certainly are, Jim, and we are so grateful for our friends at Steadfast Companies, a leading real estate investment trust company, and they do such tremendous work in that area, but they also have a passion for helping families, especially Christian parents, teach their kids about godly stewardship. It's biblical, and so when you go to homeward.com, hit the Articles and Media tab there, and once you do, a little Get Answers box comes up on the left-hand side. Just write in the word steadfast, S-T-E-A-D-F-A-S-T. And as you do, then what you'll find is the tip sheets will come up and you can read them, you can print them out, you can download them, you can email them to your children to share with their with your grandchildren. For more information on this, just go to homeward.com. The keyword is steadfast, S-T-E-A-D-F-A-S-T, because this is a conversation that we as parents need to be more intentional about, talking with our kids about biblical view of money. And now for Dr. Jim Burns, our engineer Ben Camp, and the rest of the staff, I'm Roger Marsh. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time right here for another edition of Homeward, where parents get real answers. Homeward with Jim Burns is a production of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University.